Growing up in Sunday school, I was one of those. One of the verses we had to learn, or we got to learn, if how whichever perspective you look at it, we learned, of course, by memory, John 3:16, right? And I bet all of us could say that verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." We're going to be looking tonight at this passage of Scripture, John chapter 3, specifically looking at verses 15 through 21. And the title of the message is "The Message of the Messiah," looking at the gospel. I never get old preaching about the gospel. Paul himself said when he went to Corinth, he said, "I purpose not to know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified." So many times people, preachers, I'm not talking about our church or those the pastor has coming to stand here, but other churches tend to stray away from the gospel, tend to not preach on it as much because it is offensive. It's because of the gospel we're here today. It's because of the word of God we are able to sit here and say, "Glory, I'm saved. I'm washed by the blood of the crucified Lamb." Here in John chapter 3, beginning off in verse 15, it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would please bless this time, Lord, as we spend time in your word and open it. Lord, I pray you would speak to each and every heart, Lord. I pray you would hide me behind your cross, Lord. May you be made evident that you would speak through me, and that everyone here would leave here having received something from you, having heard from you, Lord. I pray that you would please bless this time. May you be glorified in all that is said and done. We say these things in your Son's precious and holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So here we begin off. Again, this is the passage, if you didn't know, John 3 is when we begin off. This passage says that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou knowest that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And then Christ, out of the blue, addressed the issue of the matter. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." He cannot see the kingdom of God. Here in the passage, we see God, Christ, our Lord, speaking to Nicodemus. Now, I believe that he later got saved. We see that in a testimony. He was there when they buried the Lord to rest in the tomb. Praise the Lord, he's no longer in that tomb. That tomb is empty. Amen. But here Christ, he's speaking to Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a ruler, one of the most religious people that you could ever find in the world today, past and present, is a Pharisee. They knew the law of God. They followed the law of God, and they followed extra things that they added. Most religious person. Christ here is speaking to them, and he gives the gospel. Here we're going to look at the message of the Messiah, because Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the promised one, who came to pay for our sins. The Jews didn't understand that. That's why they crucified him. But he is coming again. as he foretold, the one who would deliver Israel from their enemies. And praise the Lord, we have our way to take part. We are grafted into that tree and have the promises that were given to the Jews. Here, Christ begins off, we began off, it says that whosoever believeth in him, Christ Jesus, should not perish. Talking about death, eternal separation from God, but have eternal life. That communion and fellowship with God for all eternity. For God so loved the world. I'd like to take a pause there because the reality is so many times, especially for those who learned this verse from a young child, we tend to quickly say it and it just rolls off our tongue. But we don't take time going through the verse. For God so loved the world. How great that is, God's love. That he, and the reality, because he loved us so much, he gave his only son for us, that we should not perish, that we might not have that eternal separation from God, but have that sweet communion for all eternity with our Lord. Here we see, beginning off in verse 15, we see the call of God to salvation, that whosoever, that amazing word, it means it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what you've done, it includes every one of us, that whosoever, it's undisputed, it doesn't matter, you can't say, well, I'm not included in that. No, it says whosoever. It's a call to salvation. It's for all. It's a call to believe on Christ. That whosoever believeth in him, the Messiah, the one that he said in the previous verse, that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, foretelling what would happen to him. It's a call to salvation, that if we call upon him and believe in Christ, we shall not perish but have eternal life. Romans 10:13 puts it this way. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. It's the eternal promise that never fails. If you call upon the Lord today, you will be saved. Amen. We see a call of God to salvation. Then we see the compassion of God for the sinner. Verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world. Doesn't say he loved somewhat. He loved this person, not you. He loved, so loved the world. Past, present, future. And that, we know that because from the very beginning, it says from the foundation of the world, Christ was set to die for us. He knew from the very foundation when he was creating the stars, the sun, the moon, when he created the animals, when he breathed life into man and created woman, he knew. And he had prepared his son to come. He loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We see here the compassion of God. Compassion is such a wonderful word. It's a synonym of the word love. But compassion is even more than that. It means it's a care, a love for someone and a desire to help them. It's love with action. Simple definition. Love with action. You can love someone. The world says love. Their definition of love is not God's. It's not compassion. Love is with action. You do things that others wouldn't normally do because of your love for them. God's compassion for the sinner is towards the sinner. It says, for God so loved the world. It's towards us, those who are lost in sin, because of what we did. It is through the Savior. And that's important. Traveling around the world, so I'm from Canada. That's why I have an accent, by the way. Sorry if you can't understand me. I'll try speaking in another language. Maybe you will. I'm from Canada, lived in Russia. I've traveled, I've been to Kyrgyzstan. I've been to India. I've been to Mexico. Of course, the United States included. And in all these different places, man has come up with a way, with Satan, of course, being involved, of finding a way to heaven besides the right way. They have said, you can do this and this and believe in this person besides Christ. God's compassion was through the Savior. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It was through him. It was not through Muhammad. It was not through Buddha. It was not through the Pope. It was not through all these other false gods. It was through the only begotten Son, the Lamb of God, that God's love was showed towards us. We see in 1 John 4, verse 10, says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his only begotten Son for a propitiation for our sins. Herein is love. God's love was through the Savior. And thirdly, it was for our salvation. It was towards the sinner. It was through the Savior, and it was for our salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, we see that word again, believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He says it twice. Okay, kids, I'm growing up here. You know, growing up, I knew my father said something one time. It was important. I need to listen. I better obey. But if my father said it a second time, oh, you better believe it's important. You better listen up. And if you don't, you know what's coming. God in his love many times said it twice, and not just twice. This is just in one passage. He said it twice. Everlasting life. You better believe it's true. Without a doubt, it's true. Everlasting life, that if we believe in the Son of God, we will not perish, but have everlasting life. We see the compassion of God for the sinner. Then we see the commission of God to the Savior. In verse 17, see, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The commission, the mission of the Savior was very clear. It says here in verse 15 that God sent not his Son into the world. For what? He didn't send it to condemn the world. He came the first time not to condemn the world, but you better believe he's coming a second time, and he's coming as a ruling king, as a judge, and he will judge all people. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an answer for the things that we have done, whether good or evil. He is coming back as a ruling judge, but he came the first time not to condemn us, not to judge us, but that the world, that's you and I, through him, Christ, might be saved. Christ's commission from God was not for condemnation, but was for reconciliation, for redemption. John 19, verse 37 talks about this. It says that Christ, Pilate, when he stood before Pilate, and he asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And I'll read this passage. You don't have to turn there if you want. It's John 19, verse 37. Christ answered Pilate and says, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Luke 19, verse 10 says the similar thing. Christ said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ's commission from God was to come, his first coming. When he came to this world, many centuries ago. He came to save us, to reconcile us to the Lord, to God. And we have been reconciled now through his blood, being brought nigh unto God, who were once far from him. We see here the compassion of God. We see the call of God to salvation. We see the compassion of God for sinners. We see the commission of God to the Savior. Then we see, next verse is the choice of man about eternity. See here in verse 18, it says, he that believeth on him, on Christ, is not condemned, not judged. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Here we see the choice of man to believe or not to believe. And the reality is, God said it, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Praise the Lord for that. Romans talks about this. The book of Romans states in verse chapter 5, Romans 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been justified. We have been sanctified. We have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. We are no longer condemned. We no longer will be separated from God, because of the choice we made. If you're sitting here today and you're still on the fence, my friend, you have a choice before you. Heaven or hell, the choice is yours. God never forces you. He calls to you. He gives us the wonderful gift of free will. And the reality is if you go to hell, it's on you. God did everything. You only have to receive the gift of God, of gift of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. There's nothing we could do. All we have to do is repent and believe. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, because we as a people, we tend to be proudful. If we could say, well, I got to heaven, if we walked into the pearly gates of heaven, and we say, look at me, look what I did. Look how I'm standing here, puff my chest out. It's like, look at me, how great I am. I got here, finally. Proudful. You know what God, it's the list of six things that God hates from Proverbs. You know what's the very first one? A proud look. We read it today. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If you humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God and kneel before him and say, Lord, I am a sinner. I deserve hell. I deserve your eternal judgment and condemnation. But I believe on the name of the Son of God that he died for me. He was buried for my sins. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried all my sins away. Rising, he justified freely forever, and one day he's coming, oh glorious day. We have a choice before us. Man has been given a choice, the choice of man about eternity. If we believe on him, we are not condemned. But if you believe not, it says, but he that believeth not is condemned already. The judgment of God is upon us, upon every person who is born into this world. The wrath of God abideth upon him, as John the Baptist said. In the end of the chapter, you can read it. The wrath of God was upon us, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all, for all have sinned. If we believe not, then we're condemned already, because it says, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We see the choice of man, and then we see the condemnation of man due to wickedness, evilness. See here in verse 19, it says, and this is the condemnation. Now God goes into detail, because reality is, if we stood before the God, for the Lord, and God didn't give what our judgment was, he would not be a just judge, a righteous king. By judging us and not giving us a reason, he wouldn't be just. And God gave us the reason. Why are we condemned? And this is the condemnation. That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. In the first book of John, John chapter 1, it says this, in verse 8, he says, he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. This is talking about John the Baptist. This was the true light, now talking about Christ, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, and he was in the world. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Men love darkness rather than light. The light of the gospel, we read about the life of Christ. When he preached, the Pharisees hated it. They felt that he was undermining their authority. In reality, they didn't understand that he has all authority already. But they hated it. And they plotted against him to kill him, and they did. Man loved darkness rather than light. We see here the condemnation of men due to evilness, because light came into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light. We've already read this, Romans 5:12, that for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. The reality is, every single one of us, when we were born into this world, sin passed upon us. And we tend, why do you think kids tend to disobey? Because they prefer darkness. I used the example, I taught on this passage, but not this message. I taught on this passage in Mexico, and I used this example, the difference of the product of sin and the product of salvation. One of those ones was darkness and light. I use the example, we all know insects, for example, because in Mexico, you have a lot of insects. You have cockroaches. I hate them. But you have cockroaches. Cockroaches, what are they known for? If you walk into a room that's dark, turn on the light, and there's cockroaches, spread. They scatter. Why? They hate to be seen. They hate the light. Why? Because the light is revealing. Then there's other insects that are drawn to the light. Okay, but let's look at the first. You know, talk about the other one. Why? Because the light is revealing. The same way for us, men love darkness rather than light, because the light makes known all that is within us. It reveals that sin and that wickedness inside us. And we as people, we naturally are carnal and wicked people. God said it. He says there's none righteous, no, not one. The heart is wicked and deceitfully, is deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? The condemnation of man, of the world, is because we love darkness. Then we see the covertness of the wicked. They hide themselves. It says in verse 20, it says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. See here, reality is, with the wicked, they hate the light, and they come not to the light. In Ephesians chapter 5, turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, the reality of the covertness of the wicked, the reality that men love darkness, they like to hide their sin. They don't like to reveal it. They are concerned what people might think of them, or they have this image in their mind of what people think of them. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 12, it says, For it is shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Here in the passage of Ephesians, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing to the church in Ephesus. And he began off in verse 7, it says, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." The reality is, for Christians, it should be a shame for us to speak, to even utter the things that are done in this world. This world is wickedness. And I'm not saying to be turn a blind eye to it. No. The reality is, this world is wicked. It's desperately evil. But it should be a shame to us to even utter about it, to talk about it. God talks so much about our words, about our lips. I did a study about that in Proverbs. Do it on your own. Every time God mentioned the lips, our words, anything to deal with our words and our lips, our mouth, God talks so much about it. Be careful, Christian. Be careful what you talk about. Be careful what you tease and joke about. God talks so much about it. God says in this passage, it's a shame to even speak those things which are done in secret. The reality is, the world loves to hide what they do. The agendas of this world, the things that are popular now that have been taught in our schools are now being opened, but they have a hidden agenda. They want to be accepted by everyone, but they keep that which is secret, which is reality. There is a covertness to the wicked. They like to hide. They don't like to come into the light because it makes manifest. One day, everything will be brought to light. Everything. There won't be any more darkness. No more hiding. And friend, I would also be careful. When you deal, I'm going to be working the whole program, Hope Ministry. The reality is, you work with people who have addictions. And I've experienced this. It's terrible. But I've experienced things in my life that are not good. But the reality is, and I can prove this, that if you hide something, we tend to do it. But when you hide it, it's the devil's playground. Devil, when he sees that you're hiding something, he's already gained a victory over you. Don't hide your sin. It says in another passage, says, "Confess your sins one to another and forgive one another as Christ has forgiven you." Don't hide it. It's the devil's playground. Don't be like the wicked who hide. They don't like the light. We see the covertness of the wicked, and then we finally see the confidence of the washed, of the saved. Back in John chapter 3, we read here in verse 20 again, it says, "For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." The confidence of the washed, of the saved, number one, they do the truth. They do the truth. They do what's right. It says, "For everyone that doeth truth cometh to the light." They walk in the light. And they have a right testimony. The reality is, if you are saved, a child of God, you should be walking with confidence, not in yourself. Be careful, Christian. We talked about pride. Don't be proudful. It's so easy. But be confident in what? In the Lord. Be confident in what? In the blood that has washed your sins, has justified you, has washed you, has sanctified you. Be confident in that, knowing that you have been justified, therefore walk in truth. and walk in light, knowing that, as it says here, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The reality is, if you walk in truth, you will walk in light, and all people will see your testimony. Your testimony will be an evident beacon to all. You can't hide it. Christ spoke about that too. No man lighteth a candle and hideth under a bushel. You can't. A city on a hill cannot be hid. A testimony of a Christian who walks according to the truth of God cannot hide their testimony and should never want to, but the reality is you can't. Everyone's going to see it. It's going to be a glorious testimony of what God has done in you. It's going to be manifest that they are wrought in God. John 1 again talked about, 1 John chapter 1 talks about this too. It says, I'm going to read this passage really quickly here, and we're going to finish here. It says, 1 John 1:7 says, "But he, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins." Walk in the light. We see here the message of the Messiah, the call of God to salvation. We see the compassion of God for sinners. That is toward the sinner, is through the Savior, and it's for the salvation. We see the commission of God to the Savior, that it was not for condemnation, but for reconciliation. We see the choice of man about eternity, the condemnation of man due to evilness. We see the covertness of the wicked and the confidence of the washed. My brothers and sisters, if you're sitting here today, you are a child of God, then be confident in the justification through the blood of Christ, and share the message of the Messiah. Share. You need to share, because God calls. That's the whole theme of this year, across the seas, across the street, across the seas. Share. God blesses that. Show that God calls them to salvation. Show that God has compassion for them, and that he has sent the Savior to die for them, and that they have a choice before them. Share. If you're sitting here today and you're not a child of God, if you've never one time in your life prayed, asked the Lord to save you from your sins, repenting of your sins and believing in Christ, then I would plead with you to come. The choice is yours. That is the reality, and I cannot force you, but I won't do it, and God never does it either. But he does plead with us to come. It says in the last book of the Bible, the last chapter, and I believe there's a reason why he ended with this, but God says that the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." The bride, that's us, come. Let him that heareth say, "Come." And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. If you're sitting here today and you're not a born-again child of God, I say come. The choice is yours, but you don't understand. The wrath of God is upon you. You're condemned already. You're on the way to a devil's hell. It's not going to be a pleasant thing. It's for all eternity, eternal separation from God. Today is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Come while you may. Humble yourselves before the almighty hand of God. Christian, let's spread the message of the Messiah. Let's walk confidently before our Lord, knowing that we have been redeemed. We have been reconciled back unto God and justified through the blood of the Lamb. Knowing that we once heard the message of the Messiah, one day we heard it, we believed, and we were reconciled to God. The message of the Messiah is very clear. It's written throughout the scriptures. Let's share it.